Thank you, Reggie and Joshua. That was lovely. In his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 from the Living Bible, Paul tells us, "Now I want to tell you what God in his grace has done for the churches in Macedonia. Though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, they have mixed their wonderful joy with their deep poverty, and the result has been an overflow of giving to others. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and I can testify that they did it because they wanted to, and not because of nagging on my part. They begged us to take the money so they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem." Now, a mother wanted to teach her little daughter a moral lesson. She gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar bill for church. "Put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other one for yourself," she told the girl. When they were coming out of the church, the mother asked her daughter which amount that she gave. "Well," said the little girl, "I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, and so I did." In the message given by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, he talks about a model of Christian giving. The Apostle Paul lays out before the Corinthian church, and all of us as well, how we are to give all that we have to the Lord. We are to do it cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. Albert Einstein once pointed out that there are only three ways to teach a child. The first one is by example, the second one is by example, and the third one is by example. And that is exactly what Paul was doing in teaching the people of Corinth about giving. He teaches them that by way of example, and the example is the churches of Macedonia, when he said, "And now, brethren, we want you to know about the grace of God has given to the Macedonian churches." The Macedonian churches consisted of three churches in three cities in the province of Macedonia. And these churches were the churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, where the three cities were the churches in Macedonia located when there were models of Christian thanksgiving. They had learned what Martin Luther knew when he said, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I will always possess." Now, the Macedonians were generous-hearted givers. They gladly exchanged earthly treasures for heavenly wealth. The way in which the Macedonians gave serves as an example to each and every one of us. The great principle in charitable giving is a heart that is devoted to the Lord. And this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. It all starts with our commitment to and our love for God and love for Christ. It is the great love that comes from our heart and is given first to the Lord. This was the attitude of the Macedonians. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and everything flowed from that commitment. Why were they committed to the Lord? They were committed to the Lord because first and foremost, the Lord was committed to them. They saw what God gave to them, their lives, their families, their jobs, their food, their clothing and shelter. All of these were gifts from God. And all the more they recognized that God was gracious to them. They didn't see themselves as better than anyone else. Rather, they knew that they were missing the mark in many ways. Their lives, their devotion to the Lord, was all initiated by God's grace. Their ability to give wasn't just a human endeavor. It was something supernaturally motivated and produced. It was the grace of God at work, prompting their giving. The primary motive of their generosity was not human kindness, nor was it human philanthropy. It wasn't a desire to satisfy their conscience. It wasn't a desire to do well. What motivated them was the grace of God at work in their hearts, producing the generosity. The kind of giving that the Macedonians did is not normal. It was motivated by God. They were moved by the grace of God, which transformed them to God's people. Seeing that God was working in and through them, they loved heaven more than earth, and they had a longing desire to bring about God's kingdom on earth and to do His will. That is what was behind their giving. They were transformed to seek first the kingdom of God and let everything else go. Can the same be said for you and for me? Is God first in our life? Are we seeking God's kingdom in how we give, of ourselves, of our time, of our talents, of our treasure? Or do we give when it pleases us, when it is convenient for us, or when it suits our purpose? The Macedonians didn't give out their riches. They had none. They didn't give half-heartedly so that it was a battle for them to give, because they loved the world and the things of the world more than they loved God. Rather, they gave with devout dedication and commitment, and they gave generously in response to the work of the grace of God in their hearts. The grace of God and the love of God was what motivated these people to give willingly and eagerly. They didn't give as the world gives. They gave far beyond that because they were transformed by the grace of God. It is the grace of God that enables a person to give when in difficult circumstances. The Macedonians knew all too well difficult circumstances. Theirs was extreme poverty. Others had more in terms of money, but they did not use that as an excuse for not giving. Instead, they saw what God gave them and responded by saying, "How can we not give? For look at what God has done for us." Difficult circumstances had no negative effect on their giving. It wasn't like, "Well, you know, we're in really tough times here, and we don't know what our economic future is going to be, and the economy is tanking, and we don't know if we're going to have enough for tomorrow." What you don't realize is that these people had enormous financial problems. Macedonia had been reduced to grinding poverty. They were crippled by the taxes of Rome, and those taxes left them absolutely destitute. In fact, it was so bad at one point that Rome eliminated the taxes just so that the people of Macedonia could crawl out of the holes they were in and reach a mere level of survival. But there is something also that you don't see in the Macedonians. You don't see a poor me attitude. There's no poor me mentality. There's no, "Why are you asking us?" or "We've got our own problems" mentality. In the middle of prolonged suffering and intense deprivation, they gave. That is what God's children do. Their severe hardship had no negative effect on their giving, even in the middle of such dire circumstances. They weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking about others that they had never met. They didn't know the folks in Jerusalem from Adam. They just knew that they needed help, and they gave because they were individualized expression of God in another place. We give because God's grace is controlling influence in our lives, and this is our motivation. We give because even the worst of circumstances cannot thwart our love for God and His love for us. Paul goes on to say that they gave with joy. They did not give with a sense of duty, and they did not give because they were pressured. They were content to give. They were abundantly happy to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 9 reads, "So I have asked other brothers to arrive ahead of me to see the gifts you promised is on hand and waiting. I want it to be a real gift and not look as if it were being given under pressure. But remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to, for cheerful givers are the ones that God prizes. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, just so there will not be only enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to joyfully give to others. It is as the scriptures say, the godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest." The Macedonian Christians, though they had very little, they gave. They gave because they were motivated by the grace of God in their lives, a grace that transcended their difficult and trying circumstances. They gave with joy. Their giving was not at all hindered by their poverty. Their giving reflected the magnanimity and the liberality and the generosity of their hearts. They had so little to give, and they gave so much. We have so much to give, and we give so little. God is not asking us to strip ourselves to the poverty level. He is simply asking us to give joyfully and faithfully, trusting Him to meet our daily needs. So what are we going to do? How will we give to God? What are we going to do with our money, with our time, with our creativity? Well, we will certainly take care of our own needs. That is why God provides for us. And we will certainly take care of the needs of our family and those around us, because that is being a wise steward. Give joyfully, for God has given us all things richly to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy the magnificent beauties of this world, all of the comforts of it brings forth to make life wonderful and rich. He also wants us to have the hearts of the Macedonians and give joyfully and generously. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? I want you to take a moment now to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your feet flat on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your sides. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in and exhale slowly. And as we exhale, let us let go. Let us be still and quiet our mind. And let go of all that is outside this peaceful and holy sanctuary. Let go of your worrisome thoughts. Let go of anything that's swirling around in your head. If you're holding on to anger or resentment, any jealousy or unkindness, let it go and just be still. Be still. Be still and know that God is here. And go within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms, unconditional love, and enormous peace. God's love is the foundation for everything that is good, everything that is lovely, beautiful, kind, and gentle on earth and throughout the universe. And it is God's love that provides for our every need, whether it be food, clothing, a place to live, our good health, or our joyous moments. What God gives, He gives of Himself, and we are the good stewards of these treasures. They are not given to us to hoard and to keep to ourselves, or to mete out in little bits to those we favor. God's gifts are given to us that we may enjoy them and share them with others so that they may be enjoyed by many and not just a few. Let us give to others with generous hearts, knowing that it is not we that give, but it is the Father giving through us. We are the instruments of our Father, and He uses us to show forth His goodness and His generosity here on earth. Let us give freely of His bountiful gifts. Let us give with generous hearts so that our Father's love and infinite blessings can be experienced by all. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His infinite, unconditional, and everlasting love, and all of the treasures in His storehouse. Amen.